are listening to Raising the Bar with Konacek and Dillon. Join us for a lively and informative conversation on hot legal topics. Call or email us with your legal questions at raisingthebar@wgnradio.com.
Welcome to Raising the Bar Show. I'm David Hochberg. Your host in studio with me is Tom Dillon and Dan Konacek of Konacek and Dillon. You hear their ads on WGN Radio very, very, very frequently. And they wanted to do a radio show, a law show, and they asked me to help them out. So that's why we're here. We're talking law. Hey, gentlemen. First show. Why don't you introduce yourself, Tom and Dan?
I'm Dan Konacek.
And I'm Tom Dillon. Nice to be here, David.
All right. We're going
to
be talking about if you're in an accident. You know, Tracy Morgan's been in the news, big story about the limo gets crashed into. We're talking about people's rights that have been impacted by some type of injury, car crash, train crash, in a bus accident, in a limo, you slip and fall. What rights do you have? Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600. This show is for you. I get questions asked to me all the time. Hey, you know, I think I should sue? Hey, what should I do there? Hey, you think this guy's got any rights? I don't know. I'm not an attorney. I do mortgages, for God's sakes. Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600. Text lines are open, same number, 312-521-8600. We have the partners of Konacek and Dillon in here to answer your question, Tom Dillon and Dan Konacek. Okay, Tracy Morgan, what rights does Tracy Morgan have? Let's talk about a horrific accident. Listen, we all know the story. Walmart truck driver allegedly fell asleep, crashed into Tracy Morgan limousine bus. Bus tips over. His friend passes away due to whatever injuries. Tracy Morgan is severely injured. Now we've got the he said, she said thing going back and forth. Where are we? I'm Tracy Morgan. I'm in that van. God forbid. Thank God I wasn't. But hypothetically, I'm in a van like that. A truck hits me. What do I do? What's the first thing I do?
First thing you do, call a lawyer.
Okay.
That's what his family did, which was very smart because they're able to protect his right by getting evidence, access to evidence early on. The trucking company, Walmart, had that access to the evidence right away. It's important for the people who are injured to have the same access to the evidence. That's something that Mr. Morgan himself couldn't do because he's in a hospital, hurt, nearly dying. One of the people in the limo bus died.
Right.
Very serious crash. And it's important to get the evidence right away, have access to it right away so you can find out who's at fault.
Okay. Accident happens 2 a.m, 1 a.m, whatever. Okay. Somebody calls your office, 630-262-9655. And a lot of people know you as the nursing home guys. Okay. Because that's what you run on WGN predominantly. And, we're doing the show because you do lots of different aspects of the law. And a lot of people don't know that. The first time we met, I'm like, I didn't know you did that. That's why we're doing the show to educate people. So, okay. 1:30 in the morning, phone number to put on your refrigerator, 630-262-9655, 630-262-9655. My mother didn't fall in the nursing home at 2 a.m. My son accidentally, unfortunately, got into a car accident. I call your office up. What happens?
If it's a severe accident, we're going to get people out to look at evidence right away. First thing first.
Do they work for you, or do you hire a different team to go out, a different company, a third party that specializes in accident type of reconnaissance stuff like that?
We hire experts. We hire accident reconstructionists, people who are trained, experienced to do this stuff. They know more about physics than I know about most things. So I can't do the equations and the analysis. They've got to do it for us.
And it's amazing. I took a class at the Northbrook Police Department, how they reconstruct the accident scene. It's all high tech computers and skid marks and weather patterns. It's pretty detailed and amazing how companies can detail put together an accident scene prior, during, and after. It's unbelievable.
And they can do that if you get to the evidence right away and get to see what the road looks like, gets to see what the debris looks like.
That's the key, getting there fast.
The police have that opportunity, but they don't always do the most thorough investigation because they're looking to see whether there are any laws violated, not whether someone was negligent. And those aren't necessarily the same things.
So you're looking for if there's any negligent on the person that caused the accident. In the Tracy Morgan case, obviously, it's the truck driver. Okay. Then what happens? How long does it take for your team of experts to put this reconstruction of the accident scene together and get you a CD so you could start looking at it. For it's a 360 degree. It's fascinating. I saw it, you know, a crime scene from a 360 degree, and they could go, well, here's the northbound side and here's southeast and here's northwest. It's unbelievable. So you get the disc, then what happens?
Well, the answer to that question is varying depending on how severe the crash is. I've had a case where there were multiple vehicles, 12 vehicles involved. It took months to get the analysis back. One of the expert groups that we hired did a lot of work for NASA, and they helped to determine whether the space shuttle, when it crashed in Texas, whether the astronauts were alive when the space shuttle hit the ground.
Not the one with Sarah O'Connor going up, but the one, the reentry that blew up over Texas.
Columbia.
I remember that. Oh, God.
So these guys are pretty good. They're pretty good at analyzing physics and analyzing events, but it does take time to do the data and crunch it and prepare the CD, 3D animations the right way.
312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. If you have any questions about being injured, if you were injured in an accident, or if you have any questions about somebody that you know, friends, family, coworker, neighbor that was in an injury, that was in an accident and injured, or if you plan on running somebody over this weekend and you want to know your rights, 312-521-8600. I'm only kidding. If you 312-521-8600, send your phone, send your text messages to that same number and open up the phone lines there. Okay, so Tracy Morgan, you have a client. The family hires you. The patient is lying in the intensive care unit, not knowing if they're going to make it or not, concentrating on rehabbing their body and making sure they're still alive. So over the next couple of 3 weeks, while the patient, the victim, okay, in this case, is getting rehabilitated and incurring hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills, okay, forget about the crash. Let's talk about the cost that he's incurring or she's incurring. What should they be doing there to keep track of all that?
What we try to do is have the family focus on one thing, and that's getting better. If the person's injured, not killed, get better. Focus on recovery, focus on treatment. We get medical bills from the providers. We take care of that type of stuff. We like to do the legal end, the damages end, the evidence end, and have the family and the injured person focus on getting better. We like to have the input from the injured person so we know what they say happened. Sometimes they don't have the opportunity to know. Maybe they lost consciousness, they lost memory. Or, of course, worst case scenario, they've been killed, and we have to try to put the pieces together, figure out what happened, purely doing reconstruction.
What about witnesses? People in other cars? How do you gain access to that? Happens at 1 in the morning, the cars go off on their own merry way. Do you put ads in the paper? Do you, obviously police reports with people's names and information there that you could probably follow up, but how do you solicit people to come forward to help your client's case?
We do it as creatively as possible. In one case, we had television news footage of the crash. And so we watched the news footage and we copied down the license plate numbers of every vehicle we saw in the video, tracked them all down, contacted them that way. Not all of them make their way into a police report. So you got to do some legwork and be creative to try to find out who was there and what they might have seen.
Konasek and Dillon's been in business how long? How many years?
Since January 1st of 2000. So 2000. However many that years is it? I'm not
14
good at
years, and I'm in the numbers business. 14 years, 8 months. And this isn't your first rodeo, right? If somebody calls you up for a car accident, you've done a couple of these before, right? You've represented a couple of people in pretty serious injuries, I would assume, over the past 14 and a half years.
Many. We've actually done it from different perspectives, because in the earlier days of our career, before we started our firm, we did defense work. So we learned it from the defense side.
You're on the other side of
the table. Switch the plaintiff side. And then Dan can talk about the other big part of our practice, which is legal malpractice. And not committing, we hope, but actually representing lawyers, or in some instances, filing suits against law firms. And in those cases, we do whatever the case is about, whether it's a car accident, truck accident, drug case, medical malpractice case, patent case, doesn't matter what it is, that's what we do.
So if somebody got into an accident, was severely injured, and didn't think that their payoff, right, or their settlement was good, or that they thought that their attorney or attorneys in this case didn't do a good job, there is some type of thing that they could, a case that they could file against him, right? That's why they want to come to Dan, right? Is that what you do? You look at, if I'm Tracy Morgan, okay, just use him as an example, and my case goes, and I don't think that my attorneys handled it properly and did four or five different things and really botched it up, and I wanted $100 million and I only got $10 million, and I wanted this, that, and the other thing, and I only got two things out of item A's and one out of B, and I can't switch, you know, kind of like a Chinese menu. What are my rights as a United States citizen to go bring the case to somebody like you to have it reviewed to make sure everything was done? And if it wasn't done, what type of legal action can I take against my attorneys for not doing the right job?
Sure. So there's a lot of lawyers in the United States, a lot of lawyers in Illinois, and oftentimes people go to lawyers either based on referral or they might see an advertisement. They might be listening to this show. If the lawyer who's handling the person's case does something which we call is negligent, they miss a limitation where the suit's not filed on time, they miss a key piece of evidence, they fail to disclose a key witness, then the person, the client in that instance, would have a cause of action against the lawyer. And the cause of action would be rooted in the fact that the lawyer didn't accomplish what the client was entitled to in the car accident, if that's what we're talking about.
So we're talking total spectrum here, okay? In the accident, getting in the accident, you know, not planning to get into the accident. I'm sure Tracy Morgan and especially the man that passed away wasn't planning on having some horrific accident happen. But there are different rights for the consumer. To not only go after the person for legal bills and damages and pain and suffering and whatever else you could get out of them for the accident, but there's also a fallback in the event that you don't feel that your attorney did a solid job for you and dropped the ball in one or two or in 15 different cases. You guys will review the case. How long does it usually take somebody to review the case, Dan? Is it a day? Is it a week? Is it a month? Do you have a special team that goes through it? Like Tom said, he's got the forensic people out there that reconstruct the accident site. Do you have a set number of people that just scrub through files and there's certain red flags that go off that they could see very easily? Like, oh, okay, we didn't ask for this or that and the other thing. Are there certain red flags that you look for? And is it your team or somebody else?
No, it's our team. We do it. Generally, there's two or three of us that can review a file within a matter of days. David, fortunately, there's not a lot of what I'll call attorney negligence that happens. There's oftentimes consumer expectations that may not be met, but the question is whether or not the lawyer did something to harm the case. We look for red flags. Is did they disclose the right evidence? Did they disclose the right witnesses? Did they meet timing requirements? And frankly, did they get the client what he or she would be entitled to? And those are the elements you discussed, which is the pain and suffering, the lost income, the medical, that type of loss that somebody would suffer, especially in a horrific accident like we're talking about today.
Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600. We're going to throw it over to Tom in a second here. 312-521-8600, because you wanted to add something. Text line is also 312-521-8600. If you have any legal questions about your rights, if you've been in an accident, what your rights are, and also if you had your case filed and you weren't happy what your rights are, give us a call or send us a text. 312-521-8600. You're listening to Konasek and Dillon sponsored Raising the Bar show on WGN.FM. We have a webpage for the show that you could go to after the show to download a podcast of the show. 312-521-8600. If you want to reach these gentlemen and their staff at the office, 630-262-9655. You wanted to add something to what Dan was saying.
Yeah, just to follow up on what Dan said, it's not enough for someone to say, hey, I didn't get enough money, or my lawyer didn't get me enough money. The jury's verdict wasn't big enough. There has to be some mistake that the lawyer made, a mistake the lawyer shouldn't have made in order to produce the bad result before there can be a lawsuit, a viable lawsuit.
You've been in business for 14 and a half years, a little over 14 and a half years, 14 years, 9 months, 10 months. How many years, when did you become an attorney, Tom?
1991.
And Dan?
1990.
And how valuable would you say being on the other side of the table, being a defense attorney, is in your practice right now? And how many years did you guys spend on the other side of the table as a defense attorney? And what valuable experience did you gain being on the other side of the table that you could bring to the client side of the table that you're representing, seeing that you defended that you were on the other side against people like you back in the day before you started your own company in 2001, right?
2000,
sorry.
In the personal injury and wrongful death context, what's really invaluable about the defense experience I had is knowing what the people on the other side are going through, knowing who the defense lawyer has to report to, what kind of reports the defense lawyer has to do, who at the insurance company is making decisions, and what people do they have to report to? Are there reinsurers that have to be reported to? What type of information has to be passed up, and how many people are involved in the decision-making process?
Are there a lot of mistakes made? You know, now that you know that, you kind of know where the trap doors are that the other side's going through that you could take advantage of because you've been there and you know what procedures have to be followed on the defense side, and you're like, oh, you know what? He didn't do that. I got him, and I could get him here. That would benefit somebody that is hiring you to represent them.
Sure, David. And so the audience, in a general case, you have the person that's injured that's called the plaintiff. They're the one suing. Generally, let's just keep it to a car accident. They're suing the driver of the car that hit them, and we'll call that person the defendant. So doing the defense work that Tom and I once did for insurance companies, hopefully the person who hits you is insured. And there's a lot of things that we learned that insurance companies do, how they value a case, the type of tactics that they may employ in order to get the value. The insurance company doesn't want to pay a lot of money, so they want to keep the expenses down, the payout down. And the inside information that we obtain doing that for a number of years is invaluable because we know exactly where those trapdoors are, and we know how to turn the right screw, push the right button in order to compel the insurance company to pay what's fair and reasonable.
And how do you determine what's fair and reasonable?
That's a lot more art than it is science.
Yeah, it's okay. You broke your leg. Is there a chart 0 to 400,000? I mean, you know, how do you value a broken leg? Is it, you know, a 14-year-old? You break a leg, you get this. If you're a professional running a company, you get this. If you're a marathon runner and you get into an accident and break your leg, you just lost millions of dollars in endorsements, you could get this. How do you determine what's right and what's not? 312-521-8600, phone line, text line. Send in and call in all your legal questions, and we'll get them answered here from the partners at Conasec and Dillon. How do you put a value on something?
Let's talk about the Tracy Morgan case just to illustrate that. He's lost a lot of money in terms of his ability to perform.
Big time actor.
Whether it's movies, whether it's television, mm-hmm. whether it's stand-up performances, endorsements. He's lost, according to news reports, millions of dollars in the last 4 months. So that's one of his elements of damages. That's something he could get. But he can also get money for all the bills that are being paid on his behalf, for all the treatment he's getting. And he can also get then the nebulous pain and suffering. Now, pain and suffering is a huge and broad concept, and that's what's really difficult to say. This is how much it's worth. What does it settle for? Well, it depends on what the insurance is. It depends on what liability is. It depends on how well the injured person performs as a witness.
And as being on the other side representing the insurance companies, you know what their weakness is and where the sweet spot is, and you know that range, because how long did you represent insurance companies before you started your own company going after insurance companies?
I did defense work on PI type cases for about 12 years.
And Dan?
Probably about the same, David.
So you know, like I could look at a mortgage and say, okay, boom, here's the balloon payment, and this is what you're going to do. It's on page 5, section 2. You know exactly where to go to because you represented them combined over 20 years. You know what they're thinking. You know the strategies. You've been in the closed-door meetings with the people, the companies that you used to represent that now you're going after to get money out of. I mean, how valuable is that to your client? You can't put a dollar figure on that.
Give you a good example. There was one adjuster for an insurance company that we did work for. Very, very good at her job. She made sure that after Thanksgiving, there would be no increases in settlement offers on any case.
No increases. And so, why?
Because she knew that people would want money at Christmas time. So they would be willing to accept what was already on the table. So the defense lawyers were instructed, just restate the offer that's out there and they'll take it.
The other trick that they would use is they'd bring a check to a settlement conference where you have your client and they'd hand over a check with a good number of zeros on it.
Yeah. And to but not enough for you guys. Right, it wasn't enough. It was missing a zero for you.
Well, that's where you talk the client off the ledge, and you know, somebody that's been out of work because they're injured. They've got five kids. They're trying to feed. You know, insurance companies take advantage of that situation.
Sure. Yeah. So you bring in a drool towel, and you put a gag over their mouth, and you're like, don't say a word. And if you start drooling, just say you got to go to the bathroom and you have a stomach ache. Get the hell out of the room.
I had a case where I was defending. I had a check at the settlement conference to give to the plaintiff. It had the plaintiff's name on it, the lawyer's name on it. And they wanted more money than we had. But I waited until the end of the conference. I put the check on the table and the judge said, you know, there's this amount of money on the table. And I said, judge, it's literally on the table. From the moment I set the check down, that plaintiff never took her eyes off the check. And I knew
nonverbal cues.
I knew she was going to take it. Her lawyer was mad as heck at me. Didn't talk to me without swearing at me for about a month.
312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. Phone and text line. Raising the Bar Show with the partners of Konasek and Dillon. We have Tom Dillon and Dan Konasek. But that's the value of having that knowledge, I would have to think, and to know where to go after the other side and how to defend and how to attack, because it's hand-to-hand combat, okay? You can say what you want, okay? It's gladiators in the ring with the lions on the outside. You're trying to get the most for your client, and they're trying to keep as much in the pocket of their client, and they're representing the insurance company. Walmart throws a couple of volleys out, and Tracy Morgan, I'm sure his attorneys were really happy that he opened his mouth, and probably not the smartest thing to do, but to get emotions involved, but gag orders on your clients. You know, don't go to Facebook and say things. Don't post. What type of advice? Listen, if I'm Tracy Morgan and I read that from Walmart, of course I'm going to be upset. But you gotta walk away, right? You can't fire stuff in the media like that, can you? Is that smart?
Well, lawyers do that periodically. We don't like to try cases in the media, but there are some who'll do it and do it often. Whether they've got success in it, I don't know.
Here's a great question. Go ahead.
Your point on the Facebook is a good one. You're dealing, from our perspective, when we're representing somebody that's injured, first and foremost, and we teach the lawyers that work for us, the young ones, is that it's a human being. We're talking about money in this program here.
Emotions.
And emotions. But in the end, the person that's injured is a human being.
Yeah.
And so you always have to keep that in perspective. And when you're dealing with the person and you're discussing the value, how do you put a value on a leg, David? The more difficult conversation you could ever have in these situations is the value that you put on a four-year-old child that was killed in a terrible trucking accident. Mm-hmm. So you always, in the end, have to keep in mind the effect that it has on the client. And then I think it's the absolute obligation of the lawyer to make sure that the client understands going forward, the case, in our opinion, has a certain value. They may be putting some money in front of you, but in the end, we can either get you more, and talking the person off the ledge into rejecting an offer is sometimes difficult, but always, again, keeping the person's best interest in mind. The Facebook and the that type of information that you alluded to earlier, talked about earlier, we've actually had some unfortunate incidents where clients have Facebooked and social media'd, and the other side does look and scour for it, and
sure,
they have said some things or posted pictures that do hurt the case.
Of them jumping backflips on a trampoline, and they're supposed to have lower back injury.
Yes.
Okay, I've had lower back. I've had surgery and an epidural. I know what back injury is. Trust me, I could barely walk down this hallway, let alone doing backflips on a trampoline. Okay, hey, we've got a couple of texters texting in. 312-521-8600. I'm going to throw this out to you. I'm going to throw this out to Tom Dillon, Dan Konasek, partners at Konasek and Dillon. So we got a 630, the first texter of the show. Where would Tracy Morgan be if it was XYZ company instead of Walmart, a Walmart truck that struck him? Great question. What if it's Don Jones's landscaping company, and he was driving his truck, he fell asleep because he had a full day of landscaping instead of a Walmart truck? Great question. Keep him coming.
He would either already own a trucking company or he'd have a default judgment for the $750,000 insurance policy that company has. Federal law requires insurance for trucking companies, but it's not enough. For hazardous materials haulers, they've got to have $5 million in coverage. that's not enough. Tracy Morgan's case.
Hazardous material. So if you're carrying gasoline and it tips over on your truck and a spark blows you up and you're fried like a marshmallow there, your family's only getting $5 million.
That's the that's the minimum coverage they have to have. The company may have more coverage. They may also have assets, of course.
That doesn't seem right.
So
we on the plaintiff side
have been trying to get those numbers raised for quite some time.
Wow.
We're hopeful that that will be changed soon.
Okay, so here's another texter from a different guy. Sean, I appreciate the text, 630. We're big in the 630. So Sean sends us a text. How long does an average personal injury case last, and can my attorney accept an offer of settlement without my consent because he or she thinks it's in my best interest?
Let me answer the second question first. Absolutely not. And that's some of the cases that we get.
Can't accept the settlement. That was the second part of that question.
Right. It's the client's decision always to settle, and the attorney works for the client. So if the attorney settles without the client's consent, he or she not only was negligent, but they breached their what we call fiduciary duty to the client. The first question was generally how long cases take. In Cook County, which is Chicago here, they can take up to 2 to 2.5 years. Anywhere outside in the suburbs, you might be able to get them done within 16 to 18 months.
16 to 18 months. And a big case like a Tracy Morgan case, is that going to go years?
Years.
It's in federal court, so it might go a little bit faster, but I don't know what the New Jersey docket is like where they filed the case.
All right, let's talk about something different here. 312-521-8600, phone and text line, 312-521-8600. Raising the Bar Show, sponsored by Konasek and Dillon. We have Tom Dillon and Dan Konasek in here, the two partners behind this great law firm. A lot of the listeners know Konasek and Dillon for nursing home. If somebody fell in a nursing home, you hear the commercials on WGN all the time. And we're just trying to branch out here to let the listeners know of the different facets of law that your team and your law firm in St. Charles, beautiful office, by the way.
Geneva.
I travel the great state of Illinois and get lost a lot. That's why I really enjoy St. Charles. That's why every place I go seems like St. Charles. I mean, I think we're downtown Chicago and it seems like St. Charles. But
take the river south on your canoe and you'll end up in Geneva.
I'll start in St. Charles.
Watch out for the dam, though.
What happened for the dam and the rapids in St. Right. Charles? So we canoed out to Geneva, and your office is right downtown.
Right next to the river.
Right next to the river, across the street from a fantastic Mexican restaurant. And we wanted just to do this show to answer people's questions about the law, because everybody's got a question about the law: speeding tickets, injury, this, that, and the other thing. My mother got hurt at a nursing home. My aunt got hurt at a nursing home. We're going to do a couple of shows on that, but right now we're talking personal injury. 312-521-8600, phone and text line. Let's talk about texting. I see crazy stuff, and it's like, just call people. Why do you have to text? I mean, you're texting to, you have to text to us here, or you can call us here, but if you're driving, it's crazy enough that you're talking on the phone and driving, but texting and driving, when you can hit there's a phone button up there that you can hit call, and it goes. Why? How dangerous? It's crazy. I see near accidents every morning. I'm on the Edens at 5:45 in the morning, every morning. And I see people flying in and out of lanes at 5:45 in the morning. And it's the Autobahn. If you're not going 80 miles an hour on the Edens, on the inbound Edens, you're getting run over. Okay. Which is fantastic, by the way, because it takes me 15 minutes to get downtown. But I see people texting. I see people shaving, electric shavers. I see people having their bagel with the schmear, a cup of coffee, and driving with their knees at 80 miles an hour. It's crazy. How many cases do you have representing people that got run over by somebody having their bagel with the schmear in the morning?
The accidents are so common. Fortunately, many times they don't lead to catastrophic consequences. But anybody who says that they haven't done distracted driving is lying.
Sure.
Or they just don't know what a distracted driving situation is. Because no matter what you do, if you're tuning the radio, it's distracting. If you're dialing a phone number, it's distracting. If you're talking on the cell phone, it's distracting. There are people who have studied this, and they've come up with the conclusion that there's something called inattentional blindness, that even when you're talking on the cell phone, you're not paying attention to what's going on in front of you.
All right, we're going to come back with that, talk more about that and that topic, distractions during driving and how that can impact your case. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, is there a whole thing on texting now that has become more prevalent, that we now have to have laws against texting? We now have laws against driving with the phone, which is great, right? We should all be hands-free. I want to talk about that. We got to take a quick break here. You're listening to Raising the Bar Show on WGN.FM. I'm David Hochberg. I'm in here with Tom Dillon and Dan Konasek from Konasek and Dillon. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back. Feng Shui here. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600 is the phone and the text line. This is Raising the Bar Show. I am David Hochberg. I'm in here with the partners at Konasek and Dillon, Tom Dillon and Dan Konasek. You know them and you've heard of their company through their advertising on WGN on the mothership, WGN AM 720. Predominantly going after nursing homes and nursing home negligent. And when we were putting the show together and this concept together about creating programming on WGN.FM, the first people that we went to, one of the first groups that we went to, were the guys at Konasek and Dillon, and told them about our concept. And they bought right into it because they see how valuable it is to have this type of show on the internet and on the radio to educate listeners on their rights when they get injured, or if they injured somebody, what's going to be coming on the other side if the person that they injured is represented by Konasek and Dillon. So here's a good thing to listen. Why don't you stop talking on the phone while you're driving? Stop texting. Because if you do injure somebody, I'm encouraging everybody to call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655 and hire them to go after you for injuring people. All of this could be avoided, okay? It's very, very simple. Konasek and Dillon has been in business since January 1st of 2000. These guys have been practicing law together for nearly 25 years. They both have argued in front of the Illinois Supreme Court. Both Tom and Dan have been selected as leading lawyers by their pairs. Both have been selected as super lawyers by their pairs. And their goal is to focus on the client's goals and objectives, and they practice law with a passion and compassion and take care of their clients' needs. That's what it's all about. Okay, if you get injured in an accident, whatever accident, you should hire an attorney to protect your rights, and you should call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Well, during the show, here we go. Ready for this? The text line's blowing up, boys. Well, here, why don't you reintroduce yourself, Tom? You go first, Dan, you go second, then we'll get to the texters.
Tom Dillon.
And Dan Konasek.
And Konasek and Dillon. Okay, here we go. Ready? All right. Boom, boom. What? The text line's blowing up here, guys. I got to scroll down because we're getting so many. Here's a good one. If I text someone I know who is driving and they get into an accident, can I be held liable? So can the person sitting in their living room texting somebody while they're driving, they probably might or might not know they're operating a vehicle, and that distracts the person and they plow into the back of a car and somebody gets whiplash or the car explodes if they're still driving a Ford Pinto from 1973 and the car explodes and starts major problems. Can the person sitting in this example on the couch get sued and be brought into the case because they distracted the driver?
It happened in New Jersey, and the person who was doing the texting tried to get out of the case, and the court said, well, not so fast.
Really?
If you text somebody who you know is driving and you think that they would likely look at your text while they're driving, you can be responsible. I haven't seen anything in Illinois yet. That case is in New Jersey, like the Tracy Morgan case, so it's possible.
Financially, or can they go to jail?
No, financially. Liable in tort or negligence.
In tort, okay. So they had to write a check.
They might.
Is that covered in their homeowner's insurance on their home?
Oh, it's an interesting question, whether it's homeowners or whether it would be an auto policy. I don't know.
Great question.
Which is a good point, too. You asked earlier, what happens if there's not enough insurance from the guy who ran you over or knocked into you?
The umbrella policy on your home?
Yeah. So if there's not that and you need another pocket to go to, whoever came up with that great question may create a new cause of action for those cases where there's not enough money from the driver and you need to compensate the person for their injury, go after the person who was texting them if they knew the driver was driving a car during the conversation that's occurring on the texting.
And you might know that from what the text message was.
Right. You'd have to go back to, I just left.
Yeah.
And then you text them 15 minutes later, what time you going to be here? Then they text, as they're driving. Yeah.
Read this now. Make sure you respond.
I'm passing Tui. Okay. Yeah. And then they send back, great, boom, blows up a truck at Old Orchard Mall. Okay. Then, so now you know that they're driving and you sent them a text while they're driving. Oh, I didn't even think of that. There you go.
Another way to go. Yeah.
That's why we're having this show. That's why you should call them. And hopefully they're on hands-free because it's less. Cause, you know how many people I still see driving with cell phones in their heads? I want to ram into them just to because they're stupid.
On the way here, I was trying to count how many people were doing something that was a distraction while driving.
And you almost got to an accident.
Well, then I realized I was being distracted, and so I stopped.
312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. This show is for you. Show's called Raising the Bar. You could send emails to raisingthebar@wgnradio.com if you have any legal questions. If you're driving right now, don't text us. Remember, raisingthebar@wgnradio.com, or pull over, turn the car off, and then send the text at then send us the text at 312-521-8600. But the email address is raisingthebar@wgnradio.com. The phone number for Konacek and Dillon is 630 in Geneva, Illinois. Soon to open up something in St. Charles, maybe. And if you do, then when I go to St. Charles, I could stop in and say hello. But if you want to go to their office, it's in Galena, and you do have offices downtown Chicago.
Not Galena. Geneva.
Geneva. I'm writing that down. It began with a G. I'm getting closer.
Okay. That's a different river.
Geneva. Yeah.
Began with a G, and it's got vowels in it.
Geneva. Galena's a little further out. They got a great couple of golf courses out there. 630-262-9655 is the phone number into their office. Here's another text, guys. Ready? I have a loved one who may have been abused at a nursing home. We're not talking, so we're going into what people hear on the radio. I'm gonna break it in English here because the text is tough to get through. How long do I have to file a lawsuit? ? Do they have a legal turnover? Do they legally have to turn over medical records? ? What if my hospital bills are $20,000 and the policy for the at-fault driver is $10,000? Can I go after the driver individually? So it's two different questions. Okay, so 815, tell you what, since we're talking about driving, let's go to 847 first, and then we'll get to the nursing home, okay? So 847 texter wants to know, what if my hospital bills are over $20,000 and the policy for the at-fault driver is 10 G's, can I go after the driver individually? And then we'll get to the nursing home.
Yes, the insurance policy is just a contract between the driver and an insurance company where the insurance company says, we'll pay for the injuries you cause up to this amount of money. Anything above that amount of money is the driver's own responsibility. So the policy is not a limit on what the person can recover legally speaking. It may be a limit practically speaking.
Dan?
I'm not a salesperson for insurance companies, but the other thing you need to look at is your under insurance, your own insurance policy, and it's called under insurance or uninsurance policy. So if you're struck by somebody who has little or no insurance, you go to your own insurance policy, and the person selling you the policy, and it's required by state law, should have sold you a policy for underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage. Everybody should check those policies and make sure it's more than $20,000. I recommend, and I'm not an insurance agent, something over $100,000 because there's a lot of uninsured or underinsured people out there on the road.
These are the deadly facts, boys. Ready? Over 3,000 Americans a year get killed in crashes caused by distracted driving. Over 400,000 Americans are injured every year in some type of car crash. 400,000 Americans are injured in some type of car crash. And I don't know this because I just picked this off the internet. But if you had to do a bar chart, I would think that number has been increasing with the advent of all of this latest technology, with the texting and the Instagrams and the Facebooks, because God forbid we put the phone down for more than 30 seconds. Okay, you know, our attention span, we're creating an entire an entire generation of ADD, of people with ADD, because, God forbid, they concentrate and read a book instead of read a post. Okay? Pick up a book. Put your phone down.
Not while driving.
Not while driving. But, I mean, come on. It's crazy. But that number, if I asked you to come in next show and give me a flow chart of what it's been, I would have to think that that number has gone meteorically up on a bar chart.
The irony is that as cars have become safer, driving has become more dangerous.
Because you feel more protected in your tank than and you because, think is a tank.
Yeah, because people, too, are becoming so much more careless by paying attention to other things. Right. Putting on makeup, texting, talking on the phone, eating. Ever try shifting gears with a manual transmission while you're drinking a hot Starbucks coffee and talking on a cell phone that's not hands-free? It's tough.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
It's tough.
And then try to apply lipstick at the same time. Not that I would know, I'm just saying, but what I heard from other people that men try to apply lipstick while driving stick and drinking coffee while talking. It's really difficult.
Only in Galena.
Only in Galena or St. Charles. That's why you're in Galena.
Geneva.
Geneva.
Wrong river.
Wrong river. 312, right, much bigger river in Galena. 312-521-8600 is the text line and the phone line. Okay, so let's get to the nursing home question, all right? We don't want to neglect anybody, especially when we're talking about nursing home neglect. 815's got the question here. I have a loved one who may have been abused at a nursing home. How long do I have to file a lawsuit? Do they have to legally turn over the medical records? So how do you determine and prove, first of all, if somebody's been abused? Family member thinks their mother, father, uncle, aunt, cousin, whatever, friend, lover, husband, wife has been abused. How do you prove that?
This is another situation where the sooner a lawyer is involved, the better, because a lawyer can gather physical evidence or tell the family to get physical evidence, like taking pictures of
bruises.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oftentimes that's not done, and we're left trying to prove something with a witness, a person who's injured who can't speak or maybe even has died by the time a lawsuit's filed. But to answer the question about medical records, yes, the nursing home has to turn over records either to the resident or the resident's representative, and that's either going to be someone who has a power of attorney or someone who is the administrator or executor of an estate. They have to turn over the records upon request. They get charged for them. People shouldn't think that they're going to be turned over free, but they do have to turn them over.
Within how much time?
It depends on whether the person's still a resident in the nursing home or not. If they're still a resident, they have to turn them over within 48 hours of request. Uh-huh. If they're not a resident, that's kind of iffy. That goes by Illinois law. It's at least 30 days that they have to respond to your request, and then thereafter they can ask for an extension of time. If federal law applies, it's still 48 hours.
Different states, I would assume, have different. It's not a federal statute that nursing home, you have, if somebody requested, it's 48. So in Texas, it might be you've got 2 weeks. In Illinois, you've got this. Is it state specific?
That's actually a federal law that every state has been required to adopt because they all are in the Medicaid system.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously they're supposed to. So it's a general law, 48 hours.
48 hours if the person is still a resident.
If the person's still living there. Okay, yeah. So if I have a loved one in a nursing home and I request medical records to be turned over, I've got the pictures of the bed sores, I've got the pictures of the black and blue marks, I've got the pictures of the lumps on the head, should I be worried about the safety of that person? Is there any type of, I'm going to get you back from the nursing home staff, that they're going to come and treat them even worse? I mean, should we put secure? I'm not trying to be funny here, but, you know, I'm not saying armed guards out there, call the Pinkerton people there to stand guard outside, or put a 400-pound, 6'8", you know, gorilla out there, or, you know, muscle-bound dude out there to make sure that my family member's not getting beat up. But is there any concern that, hey, I want to see the records, that they're not going to come back and do something to my loved one just to get even with me for asking for the records?
I'm always concerned about a physical reprisal of some kind, where maybe a staff member is not so kind or so gentle to a resident after somebody requests records, or if they make a complaint about the nursing home to the state. Mm-hmm. State comes out, does an investigation. Now, is there going to be some kind of reprisal? That's also very difficult to prove. My general personal policy is I don't like to file lawsuits against nursing homes where the resident still lives. If the resident is in the nursing home, I don't sue that nursing home. I encourage family to have the resident move to another nursing home or facility.
The other concern, and the resident usually has this concern, is if I do make a complaint, if I do request the records, are they going to throw me out? And that's one
that's
of the
another,
biggest questions.
I didn't even think about that. Can they throw them out?
That's the biggest fear that they have.
They can't just move them right out. They can give them a notice and say, you've got X number of days, we're going to do an involuntary discharge. That's a very real fear that people have, and some nursing homes don't hesitate to pull that trigger.
And there's no cause for that, right?
Well, they can do it without cause, but they have to give notice for it.
And how much notice do they have to give?
Typically 30 days.
My God.
It can be extended as long as 60 days. People who have been in the situation know how difficult it is to find a nursing home on short notice. And believe me, 30 days is short notice if you don't have a social worker or somebody working with you to help you get a placement.
And it's not like beds are open up in nursing homes all over the place. I mean, it's kind of like a hot table. It's like trying to get in Girl and the Goat tonight at 7 o'clock. You got to book it for January 8th because then they're already booked up. It's a tough seat to get. And getting a bed in a nursing home, it's not like there's open beds all over. And sometimes I would have to assume that if there is an open bed, it's probably not in a 4-star nursing home either. It's in a 1-star that's had lots of problems that everybody's trying to get the hell out of.
If you are paying cash, the monthly going rate, they'll find a spot for you.
Okay.
If you're on Medicare, they'll find a spot for you.
There's an envelope factor involved there?
Yeah, if you're on Medicaid, that's the really tough one. There are very few open Medicaid beds in Illinois.
Because they're not paying, because they're taking 18 months to pay their Medicaid bills?
A lot of different reasons for it. Yeah. Cash flow might be one of them.
Hey. Geneva is the location of your main office, right on the river. Not Galena, not St. Charles. But when you open there, I'll be there in those towns. I'll be there for the ribbon cutting because I've already, you know, I've got the mayors calling in of both those towns, all excited that you're going to be buying real estate there or consuming real estate there. You've been in business for 14 and a little over 14 and a half years, January 1st, 2000. You guys have over 25 years worth of experience. And it's the family members of, we haven't addressed this, so I just want to address this. Somebody passes away in a car accident. Okay, breadwinner, or the mother and the daughter, God forbid. Okay, I've got three daughters. I've got a beautiful wife, three daughters. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be in a mental institution under heavy sedation because I'd be crushed if any one of my kids perished, or my wife, or anybody in my family for that matter, but especially my wife and kids. How does a husband or a wife, what's that process like? I'm bringing this up with 3 minutes to go in the show, a heavy topic like this, but maybe we could talk about this leading in to next show. But what does a spouse do if they lost somebody in an accident after they get over that traumatic mental hurdle of, holy crap, I'm going to go home and my wife and daughter aren't going to be there. I'm going to go into her bedroom to give her a kiss goodnight like I do all my kids every night, no matter what time I get home. My wife's like, don't wake. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I wake him anyway because I'm a father, and that's the right of the father to wake their kid up. But I'd be crushed when I go in there to a bedroom and there's not an 11, a 9, or a 6-year-old there to accept what, you know, my peck on the head, you know, you kiss goodnight. What rights does a family member, a surviving member, have, and what do they do?
Well, they have a right to file a lawsuit if the other side was negligent for wrongful death and also for the estate for the person who was injured. To go back to the nursing home question, we never answered the question about how long people have to sue. Same situation if there's a death as a result of a vehicle accident. They have 2 years from the date of the death.
2 years.
In Illinois to file suit.
Okay.
And in the nursing...
Is every state different? I don't mean to cut you off. But
every state is different.
Okay, so you got to find out the statute. And you could help people find out, if people are listening online in Texas, you could work with them, hire a local attorney to representative, but you could still represent them in the case.
That's right. And there are exceptions to these deadlines. And so even if you think you're past the 2-year deadline, it's still worth it to give a call to find out if there might be some exception to that deadline that would apply. But generally speaking, 2 years from the date of the death, and generally speaking in Illinois, 2 years from the date that the person's injured, you know the injury was caused by somebody else's negligent conduct.
Wow, I didn't know that.
On the wrongful death part, where you asked, you know, what does a father do that loses his wife or daughter in a tragic accident, or vice versa if the husband's killed? Interesting, in a lot of states are trying to add caps to what we call the damages that are allowed under the wrongful death statute. Recently, they tried to do that in Missouri, and they met with some good lawyers who were representing the family, saying, how can you trivialize or arbitrarily decide that a life is worth $250,000? The Missouri Supreme Court agreed with the family in that case and held that the caps that they were trying to put on the amount of money a family could recover are unconstitutional. Difficult cases to handle, David, but people that lose loved ones have a right to pursue the wrongdoer.
Is psychological care part of your team? I would have to assume that you've got to have access to family counseling and health care professionals to help your clients deal with everything that's going on.
We have counselors, psychologists, and psychotherapists that we refer people to for grief counseling and for post-traumatic stress and other psychological issues.
So you go from one-stop shop. I mean, it's amazing. If you think about it, you've got people that will recreate a accident scene. You've got professionals that will come in to help grieving counselors, if you will, to get the family over the hump. And then while you and your staff go after the people in order to get properly compensated for the pain and suffering of the injuries that were caused by a negligent person.
The goal of the law is to try to make people whole after they've been hurt, and that's practically speaking an impossibility. We try to get people as close to that as possible, and that requires a comprehensive approach.
Well, great show, boys. This was a great first show. You've been listening to Raising the Bar, sponsored by Konasek and Dillon, located in the beautiful town of Geneva, right on the river there. It took me the entire show to get that right, but I finally got it right. The phone number, if you want to hire Konasek and Dillon to represent you if you were injured in an accident, 630-262-9655, 630-262-9655. You could also send them an email at raisingthebar@wgnradio.com, raisingthebar@wgnradio.com. We're going to be doing the show every Friday at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3. So please spread the word. There's going to be a podcast of the show on WGN.FM. Konasek and Dillon have their own web page on the WGN.FM website, and you'll be able to link directly to their website, konasekanddillon.com, and send them emails directly from the web page. This show is going to be here every Friday, and we're here to educate you about the law. So Tom and Dan, thanks for coming in, and I feel real good about the show. We're going to get some momentum and help a lot of people. To all the texters out there, thanks a lot. You've been listening to Raising the Bar on WGN.FM.